Don't take these pills with alcohol.
Exactly. Don't take these pills with alcohol. You'll plug your screens on your planner. I mean, this is a bad deal. I mean, all around.
I don't look at it as the things that we do as building potential. I look at it as everything that we do is going to limit how big of a drop we have in our yields. Because if we know that our potential is somewhere around 600 or above 600 and 200, they always joke with us and they say, as the farmer, the day that you open the bag or the minute you open a bag, if you dump it in the planter wrong, you've already taken 50 or 100 bushels off of your potential. Wow. So the things that we do, the things that we look at, is all about limiting what those drops are.
Ladies and gentlemen, farmers, ranchers, and distinguished guests, thank you for listening to the Farm for Profit podcast, where we discuss the latest ideas, methods, trends, and techniques available to help your farm achieve higher levels of farm profitability. The Farm for Profit podcast is co-hosted by Tanner Winterhoff, the Iowa Bankerman, and David Whitaker, the Iowa Land Guy, where in tandem, they will share their ideas and advice from industry experts. Thank you again for listening to the Farm for Profit podcast. Remember, if you aren't farming for profit, you won't be farming for long. And now, here's Tanner and David.
Welcome back to another episode of the Farm for Profit podcast. This is Tanner Winterhoff.
And this is David Whitaker.
And we've got Corey in the room today.
I am in here.
So Corey may speak up here as we get into one of these more technical topics that Dave and I need a little bit of help with. We're excited to put this episode together. We put a Twitter poll out for this episode, and 100% of the responses, Dave, came back saying that we needed to do an episode focused on soil fertility and making sure we build up that profile.
You bet. And that is why that is our topic for the day. Biology, fertility, nutrition, monitoring, the whole ROI on the farm, Tanner. That's what we're going for here.
Yep.
And we have a guest, a couple.
We do. We've got a couple of guests, but mainly wanted to remind you listeners that we listen to what you say. That's the important thing about sending stuff to farmforprofitllc@gmail.com or any of our social media platforms, because this whole show is put together for you, and we want to put information in your ears that you want to hear.
And Tanner, we always love those reviews as well. At Andy Coates sent a review to us. That was a good one. Keep them coming.
That's
well,
the plan.
Here you go. They're coming.
Exactly. That's the plan. But yes, now to our guests. We have Brody Benton in studio with us. Welcome, Brody.
Thank you.
Welcome, Brody. What? So tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from and your tie to agriculture.
Yeah, so grew up in Guthrie County on a small family farm. Now live just north of Cambridge on a place we just built here recently. But I'm a regional sales manager for BW Fusion, covering Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, pretty much everywhere throughout the Midwest. And so, and tied to agriculture, Iowa State, grew up through career-wise through Pioneer and DuPont Crop Protection.
So for the listeners that are just logging on for the first time, just give us a 30,000-foot view. What's BW Fusion?
BW Fusion is Biodyne, the B part. W is the well as ag, fused together to create BW Fusion, where we're sending biologicals and nutritionals.
Well, that's a pretty easy concept to put together, fusion, bringing something together and putting it in front of us. But I think more importantly, why we have you with us today, Brody, is to understand that there are products out there that are what I would consider unconventional, something that might be able to help us with the soil profile and getting our crops to reach their maximum potential. And it's not just what the regular elevators pitched before. Is that correct?
That's definitely correct.
So what are an example of the products that are available on the marketplace through, for example, what BW Fusion has to offer?
Yeah, so the backbone of BW Fusion is the microbial products in 401 and Meltdown. And what those products do, the 401 works symbiotic relationship with the plant, similar to the microbes that we have in our fence row that's living there all year long. And reintroducing them every year helps that introduce that diversity back into that soil profile and into that furrow. And then the Meltdown line, that's a team of microbes that's breaking down the residue, recycling the nutrients that's in the residue, and the carbon to be able to feed the entire system.
So let's back up a lot of big words ago, and let me ask you this to the layperson that's listening. Your product is going to take the stuff that's already in the plant and make it better, and just like we talk on Farm for Profit, make it more profitable.
Right. So it's going to take what's in the soil and be able to get that into the plant to improve efficiency.
Love it. Okay. So take what's in the soil and make it more efficient. Tanner, that's what we talk about, is more profitability.
Yeah. Another word that he threw in there was fence row. something that's already in the fence row, now we're putting it in the middle of the field. Can you explain the difference between that when you look at a field?
Yeah, so when we talk about taking out a fence row and farming across it, we know those yields are always 20, 30 bushels better in the fence row than the long-term farm row. And a lot of the reason for that is soil structure, but then also we have a live plant that's there year round in that fence row, where in the fall, we'll go 6-8 weeks in the fall, 6-8 weeks in the spring with no live plant in that farm row. So we're taking that, they can live in the fence row because they have a long-term food source there. So when we put them back into the farm row where the food source is, the plant that's living there, we can add that diversity back in there and keep those guys alive throughout the growing season and okay. working with the plant.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. So the first thing you mentioned was 401. And can you explain to the farmer exactly why we would use 401 and the methods that we could apply that to our farm if we wanted to use it?
Yep. So 401's the backbone as far as working symbiotically with the plant. So we have N2 fixers called diazotrophs taking nitrogen out of the atmosphere.
Diazotrophs.
Diazotrophs.
I'm not. There's no way I'm going to spell that right.
I said big words like bugs.
I don't like that. Little tiny bugs.
Little
Thanks, Corey.
Bugs. Yeah. They're taking nitrogen out of the atmosphere.
Okay.
Then we have ammonifiers. They're ammonifying the nitrogen we have in an organic manner and making it available to the plant. Phosphorus mineralizers, taking the phosphorus out of the soil, making it available to the plant. Siderophores are iron magnets that are allowing iron to be available, especially on soybeans to increase nodulation. Also, they also create their own root stimulating hormones naturally to more enhancement on that plant.
This is all done with 401?
This is all done with 401. 26 little guys, little army guys out there in the furrow.
Okay, Dave. Dave, what's your guess? How do we get this out into the field?
I would guess it's probably a granular or a spray.
Okay. What is it?
So there's three different ways we can do that. One through seed treatment.
Okay.
One through in-furrow. And another through your pre-emergence or post-herbicide.
Not bad, Dave. That's 60%.
There you go.
That's a passing grade.
that's pretty good.
Pretty good for an auctioneer.
Yeah, exactly. So seed treatment, you're saying that these guys got to pre-think this prior to ordering seed, prior to being in the field. Like right now, when we're recording this, we're a couple months away from planting season. And you're saying that they need to have this plan in place and be working with you guys. Well,
you know, especially from the seed treatments, you know, who you're buying your seed for, are they treating the seed there, you know, downstream and be able to have that on there. Otherwise, the other option is through in-furrow application or through broadcast spray.
Okay. So we got the 401, Tanner. We talked about 501, not to be confused with 401. That's root mass, yield build, yield bump, basically, correct?
So what we're doing with the 501 or Meltdown team, Meltdown's the second generation of that product where we are spraying that on top of the residue, whether that's in the fall, whether that's in the spring, to be able to break that down and get the nutrients that we've used last year, make that available to the plant throughout the growing season, a top-down diffusion type effect. And then there's lots of carbon that's in that residue too, that the fungal communities that are in Meltdown are helping feed and stimulate the 401 team that's working below ground.
Sounds like a no-tiller's dream.
It is a no-tiller's dream, anybody's dream.
What just popped in my mind was guys that do cover crop. So would this be an advantage to when you're running that pass to kill the cover crop in the spring to have this also mixed in? Would that be a benefit?
Yeah, I mean, although all three of those things work together, because especially the carbon that's being created by the cover crop is feeding the 401 bugs, and then you're also helping to degrade, you know, the nutrient capture from the cover crop to then help feed the crop then later throughout the season.
So this is all for better farming practices and to help the bottom line. What have you seen? Do you have an example, Corey? Maybe you have an example of how this has worked or what you're telling your customers that what they can expect.
Yeah, so there's you know, we have lots of examples over the last 7 years in starting in north central Iowa and now all through Iowa and Nebraska. It, like everything else, it's going to vary. And what, you know, the primary thing is from a pH standpoint, we have to have pHs that are above 5.5. Otherwise, all biology, you know, really is hurt from that standpoint. So the best practice for that farmer, if you have pHs that are that low, is you need lime. You don't need biology. And then the next step is to then reintroduce the biology.
The biologicals is why we had Brody on here. I just haven't heard a lot of content out there around this that you can actually trust. And Brody, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but Why should we believe the information that you and BW Fusion is putting out behind these products? What helps a farmer if they want to go look into something like this, feel good about the decision they're making?
Well, it's really peeling back the onion. And that's where, you know, the partnership between BW Fusion, Next Level Ag has come into play, where we've taken their 365 program and utilized it in treated versus untreated plots clear across the state of Iowa last year in 2020, and done a lot more with the Haney test that's as part of the 365 program before that, prior to that. And so through that, we can really show, okay, this is what the microbial teams do. This is what they don't do. And at the same time, we got to discover what the soil can actually provide to that plant. And that's where 365 comes into play. And then, you know, then we start to tie in biology, then the fertility, then the nutritionals to be able to fill in those gaps throughout the growing season.
So, Dave, we talked about 365 on our last What's Working in Ag mm-hmm. segment with Next Level Ag and Bodie Kitchell. And that is something that I think is extremely valuable. The fact that you're doing in-season testing and you're doing post-season testing, and you now have all this results in a platform that a farmer could take a look at and use to benchmark across to find out if it actually does work.
Correct.
Well, Tanner, if I was going to buy something, it's society today. We need proof in the pudding. Is the juice worth the squeeze? We need to know that. I mean, Corey, you farm for a living, and mm-hmm. I'm sure I went to the Power Show last week, the now called Ag Expo. And when I did, there is a million different new technologies out there. There's, I mean, literally lots and lots and lots. How do you, as a farmer, vet to know that something is good?
And what's hard about it is, you know, I went to an agronomy school, one of the best agronomy schools in the nation, you know, just north of us here. And not that we didn't learn about microbes and microbe teams, we know that they're there, but it was really focused on NPK. And that's a lot of the co-ops and things do now. So now there's all these companies coming out with microbes and mycorrhizae and fungal stuff and all that. So it is tough. It's a drinking through a fire hose in an aspect. So that's where I think the 365 comes in. And vets the products doing what they're supposed to be.
And you hit on a really good thing there, Corey, is you know, similar like chemistries and you know, branded versus generic chemistries and the active ingredients that make up that. One thing that's really important is to understand what you're getting when you are buying biologicals, because that's a broad term. It's really understanding, okay, what's all in that package and what they're really doing within that soil system for you.
I think you brought up a good point. If you're used to N, P, and K, and that's what you were taught, and you're a younger farmer, Corey, I'm going to lump in most of our farmers, probably that's what they were taught. This is a new up and coming thing for you. And with that, there's going to be skepticism to it and what's out there. So I think you guys need to make sure you research this as consumers out there. And that's where Brody comes in. And that's where takes all the big words and simplifies them, if you will, and kind of tells you how this works together with your farm. I think it's a spot by spot scenario.
Right. I don't think we're going to get enough information on this podcast for a farmer to be able to make a decision. So Brody, how can they get a hold of you if they want to follow up and learn more about just maybe biologicals in general or what BW Fusion has to offer?
Yeah, so you can go to our website at bw-fusion.com, or you can contact me. Cell phone number is 515-650-0501. And me more happen to have a conversation with you about your operation, because this, you know, this is a system. This isn't just we're going to add one thing and all of a sudden, you know, everything's going to open up. There's antagonisms, there's opportunities, there's efficiencies that have to be made.
Awesome. No, that's exactly what we needed. And then, listener, the really fun part I have to say about this conversation here is talking with Bodie Kitchell last time on our What's Working Ag about what they're doing at Next Level Ag and the 365 program, then having Brody on with BW Fusion, is we've got an offer out there for you if you want to take advantage of this. I know you're probably excited about that 365 program. So Brody, could you explain what offer we have to share with the listener today?
Yeah, so in incorporating the microbial teams in operation, you know, we have opportunities for up to $2,500 off toward like the 365 program. Whoa.
$2,500?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're getting the proof in the pudding, the results validation of Next Level Ag 365.
Sorry, I cut you off, Brody. Keep going. I just was surprised. That's a lot of money.
And that's a lot of money.
Then you're getting all the tech, $2,500. That's going to go quite a ways.
So yeah, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. So I think Bodie probably hit on, you know, what the dashboard looks like, and being able to efficiently utilize the results and stuff, and so that's where the partnership comes in. Is, you know, when you invest in the microbes, you know, these are some other things they get offered or as part of, you know, this is a systems approach. This isn't just one thing. We really want you to learn from this, from us to learn from it, and then how to make things run more efficiently, and at the end of the day, more profitably, right?
That's right. Tanner, farm for profit.
Is this only the cool people that listen to Farm for Profit get this deal, or is this
as far as I know,
the only way they're going to know about it.
This isn't for the TikTok people. This is for Farm for Profit podcast. Farm
for Profit. Got to hear
it. So what do they got to do special? Do they just say that they heard it here?
Heard it here. Say you heard Farm for Profit and talk to Brody, or go out to the BW Fusion website and put the contact information in. Farm, the number for profit. That'll get you hooked up.
All right, Brody. I wasn't paying attention because I was still thinking about microbes earlier. Give me your phone number one more time, because now they know they can get $2,500. One more time on the phone.
So number is 515-650-0501.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Thanks for coming in.
Well, Brody, if you've got some time, why don't you stick around for our general topic? Because I think you're going to probably know more than at least Dave and I put together on this soil, understanding the soil and getting nutrients into the plant. If you got time, stick around. Otherwise, I think it's time, Dave, to move into our general topic for today.
Tanner, that's great. Now let's talk to our main topic, understanding your soils. And who do we have today?
Yeah, back by popular demand. Literally popular demand. We pivoted for this. That's one of Dave's key words. Like I said, we put a Twitter poll out, and 100% of the feedback came back saying we needed to do a show about this, and we kind of needed to do it right now. We also had email responses and other comments on social media posts, so we are extremely thankful for that. And Bodie, I didn't know you were that famous, but you were requested by name to come back and fill us in. So welcome back, Bodie Kitchell. We talked about on our What's Working in Ag segment two shows ago, one Farm for Profit show ago, about Next Level Ag and how you can utilize that program and the agronomy basics to put this together. So now we're going to dive deeper. So to remind you, Bodie Kitchell is the National Director of Agronomy at BW Fusion, who we just learned about. He's also the owner and Regional Business Director for Next Level Ag. So he started in 2015. Next Level Ag had been soil testing and sampling plant tissues, analyzing the results, and then converting them into valuable information for your farm, all while keeping your farm and your perspective in check.
And Tanner, last time we talked with Bodie, we talked about in the What's Working in Ag segment about Next Level Ag and how their process of monitoring a crop and treating it like an investment is important. You know, we talked big on that, treating it like an investment. Today, we're going to pick his brain about making sure that we maximize potential of all of our available farm ground and the crops that we plant. We're coming right up on planting season. It's great. And the future feed that we need and what the potential is.
So welcome back, Bodie. How you doing?
Hey, I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me back.
So realistically today, let's kind of focus on corn and soybeans, because you look at our listener base. We do have some listeners that have alternative crops, but for the sake of time and the sake of focus, let's talk about corn and soybeans. If I'm looking at across the board an average, what is the true yield potential of an acre of corn and then an acre of soybeans?
You know, we hear from geneticists or from plant breeders that the corn potential is over 600 bushels and soybeans over 200. If you look at the NCGA, right, and David Hula does a 616, and we've got some guys that are hitting a 150 mark, obviously we have to believe those, that is the true potential that does exist today.
Okay, so my focus, Dave, then, is before the end of this episode is to figure out how we can get closer for every one of our listeners to get to the full potential of their crop. Do you think we can do it?
I think our farmers would love that if we can get them 600 bushel corn.
Well, as a farmer, I'm sitting in here and I'm thinking, you do that, but you mind my pocketbook too.
There you go. Mind my pocketbook.
Corey, that's true. We're the Farm for Profit episode. Okay. So then, Bodie, why is it important to take a systems approach to this besides what we just already, Corey, brought up? It helps make sure that we're not throwing money away. We still want to be profitable. So what's the importance of having a systems approach?
Yeah, 100%. If you go back to our episodes from last week, we kind of talked about it where, you know, I told you I use analogies an awful lot. And it goes back to, again, building that building the offensive lineman, feeding the cross country runner, and then being pissed off when our quarterback sitting in the hospital. And you guys use the analogy, you know, you're not going to invest in stock markets and never watch the performance of it. So honestly, the reason that we're monitoring, the reason that we're taking a systems approach is exactly as Corey said, how do we do this, but how do we do it in a profitable manner rather than just saying, we're going to go open up the checkbook and no holds bar, anything goes, we're going to spend money frivolously.
Yeah, I think the same thing. You know, Tanner, we talked about how you can monitor it from boots on the ground in the field to drones above and beyond. I think farmers have been doing this for a long time. They've been out checking their crops. We had crop scouters for a long time. Guys are doing this. This is just taking it to that next level, hence the name, Next Level Ag, and making sure that we're watching that bottom line so we get 600 bushel corn.
Yeah. So then, Bodie, the first time you meet our listener, so our listener's curious after this episode and they want to talk, what does that look like the first time you meet a producer?
You know, it's always sitting down and understanding what their goals and objectives are, right? Not every grower is ready to go and say, I'm going to try to push for the next 50 or 60 bushels. Maybe the grower just simply needs help understanding the data and information that he already has. But if we go in and we just assume that everybody wants the same thing or needs the same thing, we likely miss the mark. So really, it's just sitting down, having a conversation and saying, what's your goals? What's your objectives? And what do you want to accomplish?
So before we go into soil and all the things that you might ask them at the first meeting, aside from their objectives, I'm going to say Farm for Profit show, everybody wants to be more profitable. I'm going to say that's an objective. How big do I got to be? I mean, we're talking, if I have 40 acres, is your service for me? Or are we talking 2,000 acres? Just to preface it for our listeners.
You know, honestly, I've been in the business for over 11 years, and you hear the growers that don't farm as many acres as some of the big ones, and they think, you know, that my attention shouldn't be focused on them because they don't farm enough. If you farm and you're interested and you want to understand more, then you're our customer. You're who we want to do business with.
Perfect. Perfect. So let's dig deep here. Let's go a little deeper and let's get into the soil. We'll talk about that first. Why is microbial diversity important with what you do?
Ultimately, I mean, it's the foundation, right? Everything that we do revolves around biology. Our nutrient availability depends on that. Whether we want to synthetically apply it, whether we want to apply biologicals, whether we want to apply manure, if we don't have biology present, we're not making those nutrients. We're not converting those nutrients from organic to inorganic forms so that we can move them into the plant.
But my grandpa didn't care about this. So why should we care about it?
Yeah, so our grandparents, they didn't have the data to track it and measure it. But if you really go back and look at how they farmed years ago, that generation had it figured out. Our generation is going to get credit for it because we have the data and technology to understand what it all means. I remember being a young kid and my grandpa always saying, you know, we had 80 acres. It was in four different paddocks. We had cows. We had dairy cows. We had hogs, we had chickens, and we had diversity. We had crop rotation. You had corn, soybeans, wheat, oats, clover. And if you look at where we're at today, what are we doing? We're trying to go back to adding cover crops in, adding diversity to try to stimulate that biological activity.
So that's kind of what I wanted to reiterate in a question, that they were paying attention to the microbial makeup of their soil just in a whole different fashion. So one thing that I thought you've done a really funny job of putting out on social media is this underwear test. Like, you bury underwear for some reason. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So one of the big things that we talk about at Biodyne is trying to bring the fence row back to the farm row. And one of the easiest ways to do that is simply burying underwear. And you go and you take the underwear, you bury them in the untreated farm row, you bury the same pair of underwear, not the literal same pair of underwear, but the same makeup of underwear, and you put them in the fence row. And then you go and you put them in the farm row that's been treated with microbes, and you pull them out 2 months later and you show the farmer. I don't know about you guys or all of the listeners on here, but I'm a pretty visual dude. So if you show me something and it aligns with what you've been telling me, you're going to have a greater chance of convincing me. And honestly, that's what we're doing. We're simply showing the microbial diversity that exists in an undisturbed fence row and how we're working to try to bring that back to the farm row of the growers.
So ultimately, if what you're doing is working, the underwear in the fence row and the underwear and the treated should look pretty much the same, and there should be a vast difference between those two and the untreated underwear.
100%.
Okay.
So give me a visual. If it isn't treated, what's the difference between the two pairs of underwear?
So the untreated row looks like underwear that somebody had an accident in. The treated row looks like somebody got really hungry and decided to eat a third or two thirds of the underwear.
Huh. Okay. Now that we have this visual, and we kept Brody around from our What's Working in Ag segment, Brody, what's something that he's saying treats the soil? What is he talking about? What are we treating the soil with to make the underwear match the fence row?
Yeah, good point. So what we're doing is we're adding that soil or that microbial diversity that's in 401 or Meltdown or Biocast with the Biodyne BW Fusion products and you know the underwear test that you're referring to. We did right here in Story County, what was it, 2018 growing season is the one that we really in a conventional field over here by Nevada. And I mean it was half of the underwear, the cotton underwear, the carbon, the food source that's there for the biology, you know, was half gone in the fence row, half gone in the treated that we had treated with Biocast in the spring, and then the untreated was pretty much fully intact.
Okay. On
that. So what I'm hearing as a farmer is maybe we don't have to go completely no till and all cover crops and all this to achieve what the fence row is. We're taking some of your products and we're able to achieve that with our current practices.
Yeah. So we're adding that diversity right in, you know, where that plant is, right in the concentration of where that food source is coming from that plant throughout the growing season and put in that diversity there. And we're getting it back with higher nutrient uptake. And at the end of the day, you know, what Bodie had talked about, you know, building that offensive line, and we're really helping build that offensive alignment and also helping feed that later on in the season with what the microbes are doing.
So I'm thinking, listener and fellow farmers, we talked about soil testing when we did our What's Working in Ag segment with Bodie, the last show. This might be a way, if you're still skeptical, it might be worth your time to grab two pairs of underwear, put one out in the middle of the field, and then put one in the fence row and dig it up to see your own experiment to see if there is a difference between the farm row and the fence row. And maybe that would help you think about reaching out to these guys and getting something done. But Bodie, back to our topic. So we take soil tests that you talked about. We get the results back and, you know, we're working with Next Level Ag or somebody along the same lines. And we get a very clear understanding of what it looks like. How quickly can we make steps to start correcting things? I mean, what are some indicators that you use to help us know what to start correcting first?
Can I interject and back you up to even asking him, what does our normal soil test look like right now? Because I know you guys do a different soil test because it's not the same thing, right?
What do you mean?
Yeah. So if you look at the industry accepted soil test, if you will, I think I added it up. I think there's 12 components that they're actually measuring between OM, pH, buffer pH, phosphorus, potassium, calcium, your micronutrients. I think there's about 12. If you look at a soil test from Next Level Ag, there's 46 different components that we're measuring and that we're evaluating.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so what are we usually taking and what are you guys using for a soil test?
Most industry recommendations or university recommendations are built looking at just the chemical component or the chemical side of the soil. Yet, if you look up the definition of soil, it clearly states that it's chemical, physical, and biological. So at Next Level Ag, what we do is we simply look at the chemical, the physical, and the biological, understanding that each one plays a vital component or part in that nutrient availability and nutrient uptake.
So we've been missing out on one of the parts of this the whole time.
Yeah, and to me, now that brings my question again full circle, because now we have 46 things that we can look at. So how do I know where to start?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, the awesome thing about the biological side of the soil test is and this is really what I did, when I brought this here to Indiana, it was very foreign. Most people have accepted the standard chemical soil test. When I went on the farm and was talking about chemical, physical, and biological, you know, they're thinking, man, this guy is a full-blown quack at this point. He probably should just go. The awesome thing is that by measuring the biological, component of the soil, I can see it change on almost a daily basis. Things that we do absolutely manipulate it that wouldn't manipulate a standard soil test. So I'll give you an example. I started working with a grower. He's a very progressive grower from my area. And, you know, he understood a little bit about what I was talking about. So we went out and we made an application of sugar. We wide dropped sugar with his nitrogen. That was all we did. We took a soil sample before and we took a soil sample 5 days after. And in that time, we made 19 pounds of P2O5 plant available. So that's 19 pounds of phosphorus available by simply adding sugar. And the reason that that happened was is because sugar is a simple, it's a simple carbon. It is easily consumed and processed by biology. And in turn, they made a nutrient available because we gave them a food source.
That just blew my mind. Literally all you did was add sugar to a regular application pass.
100%.
Okay, so another thing that I had picked up on when you mentioned that sugar made carbon available, yeah, I hope I didn't screw that up, is when I had watched one of your webinars, you mentioned a WEOC. WEOC has carbon in it somewhere, if I remember correctly. Can you explain what WEOC is and what that all the whole acronym is?
Yeah. So WEOC, W-E-O-C, or water extractable organic carbon. Basically, it's the food source that drives the entire biological function or system. And most of our soils in the Midwest, because again, if you go back to your comment you made earlier, our grandfathers, they were paying attention to this. They had diversity. They had wheat in the rotation, right? Now we farm in a corn-soybean rotation where soybeans are actually a net negative carbon, meaning they consume more carbon than what they return to the soil system. So when we go corn and soybeans, you really start this cyclical movement of adding a little bit of carbon with corn, subtracting what you gained, and really not adding carbon back into the system. And so when we do that, we really start to deplete our biological activity because we don't have the food source to sustain that population or those populations season long.
So not to go off topic here, Tanner, but we've talked about this a couple times in farmland sales, and I was just at the Land Investment Expo, and I've heard about carbon credits coming in the future for farmland and how we value farmland. So if he's saying we're losing carbon and using their product might gain or bring back nutrients for more carbon and healthy practices, this might be something that our listeners should pay attention to for the future. As we talk about carbon credits, this you might have more to come here and more money to be made.
Okay, so on the topic for just a second, Brody, do you have a product that would help boost the carbon levels of the soil?
Yeah, so there's, you know, two different ways to add carbon in the soil. You know, first is through the plant, and when you add the 401 bugs into that plant or into the that furrow or working symbiotically with that plant, well, guess what? That plant's going to respond, produce more sugars, more carbon back into that soil system to feed that entire biological system. The other aspect is you know, and it's more of a minor aspect to what the plant can do, but you know, there's still carbon in that residue, carbon in manure, and that's where the meltdown team comes into play to be able to break down that unusable carbon and put it into a usable form for that plant.
Okay.
That
system. Now,
cool. I actually got it.
Yep.
I got one farmer question that actually circles back a little bit before that. So is the chemical test that we're doing, our typical grid samples that we're doing every 4 years that the university or whatever is telling us, is that wrong? Should we not be doing that?
No, I'm not going to say that it's wrong. I'm going to say that as time progresses, technology progresses with it, and we start to understand more. It's been the best thing that we've had for a long time. But the problem is that technology has moved, and in my opinion, the university recommendations haven't moved with it. So we're still looking at just the chemical component. That chemical component on 2.5 acre grids is still very good at helping you manage your pH, making sure that your pHs are correct, because pH is something that is absolutely fundamentally important to biological activity as well. So it's not a waste and it's not completely wrong. We would just say that there's almost 4 times the amount of measurements that we are getting with our soil tests.
So guys, I'm still, maybe it's my ADD kicking in here, but I'm back to 600 bushel corn and I'm thinking, all right, you said daily changes. this question's been nagging at me. How long does it take to get 600 bushel corn is totally what I'm asking. And I know you don't have an answer for that, but maybe you do. How long does it normally take? I start using, both the products here from Brody and Bodie, and we start monitoring everything. How long does it take me to get 600 bushel corn?
That's a great question. I wish I had the answer, and if I did, I'd probably be sitting on a beach instead of where I'm at right here in Indiana.
I want to invest in that. I'm in.
Okay, so now I don't fear. I do. I fear a little bit that we might have had somebody turn this episode off. So I want to kind of take a little bit of a breather here on what we've been talking about, because there's a huge myth out there. There's a lot of hesitation around what we've been heard biologicals called on the market. I mean, snake oil, fufu juice, I mean, mouse milk. There was a post out there, I think, Bodie, that you got tagged in on Twitter that just went through a long laundry list of what biologicals are referred to in the industry. How, as a listener and a farmer to this podcast, do we know any of this is working or is going to work, or what company to work with? Next Level Ag, BW Fusion aside, how can our listener know what they're getting?
That's an unbelievable question. And honestly, it's why I'm here today. I had a really good thing going, owning my own business, setting my own schedule. Things were pretty good, right? And a company reaches out to me and says, we need somebody to take our agronomy program and really make it into something. And they said, it's a blank slate. It's going to be open to whatever you want to do. What's one thing that you want to do? And I looked at them and I didn't hesitate. And I said, I want to have soil and tissue. And I want to prove, I want to disprove, and I want to understand that our products. I know what biology has been referred to in the marketplace, and I want to address it head on. For 4.5 years, I've studied it. I'm not smart enough to be a microbiologist by any means, but I've seen at the farmer level how I can influence it and how when I influence it, it pays me back. And so I sat down with this company and I said, this is what I want to do. They never hesitated. They didn't blink. They said, we'll do it. That spoke volumes to me. As somebody who's a farm kid myself, who's worked in this landscape for a long time, here's a company that is referred to in the public as fufu juice, mouse milk, snake oil, whatever you want to call it. And they were willing to go out and to put this data in the farmer's hands that was going to either prove or disprove their product. And if it truly was fairy dust or snake oil, the farmer was going to get to see it first. And instead, what we did is we learned so much more in 1 year about our products and being able to help these growers get to that next level.
So how long have we been using it? Were you going to say something?
Well, I was just going to give Brody the opportunity. I'm curious. Bodie just laid out a bunch of these names for this. Brody, you sell the stuff. What do people say to your face about what you're trying to peddle on the street?
Well, a lot of those same things. You say bugs in a jug, that as well. But what Bodie said too is, really being able to test and prove the proof in the pudding. Well, I took that 365 program on 18 different sites across the state this year. If we had the ability to put up the map, you could say, well, I was responsible for the derecho as well for everywhere I had a trial. But but with that, we learned, like what Bodie said, we learned a lot with what the microbial teams can do, how they're interacting together, not just one separate product, but both of them together, and how it really affects that entire system. And really the additional nutrients that we're getting in the plant that, really doesn't really require an additional fertilizer application with some of those, and really building those additional efficiencies across the board.
So this is relatively new. I heard 2018 before our grandparents have been doing it. So I've heard a couple different dates, but maybe not to the extent of microbials right now. What's the longevity of this? We switch from wheat to then we switch to corn and beans, and we've kind of done that, and we've tried to have soil health and soil stewardship moving forward. What are we seeing that this is going to bring longevity, or is this a fad?
No, I don't think it's a fad, especially as we learn more. I think you can see that the industry is completely pivoting. When you start to see companies like Syngenta and companies like Bayer invest in biologicals, I think it starts to tell you the direction that this industry is going to go.
Okay, we know that we can get some samples done preseason. We know that we can apply some biologicals. We can start to fix and get the field to match what the fence row looks like. But now I've got my crop planted. We touched a little bit on it during our What's Working in Ag segment, Bodie. What are some things that we can do after the crop is in the ground to help boost the potential of the crop? I'm talking about right now just raising the potential of the crop we put in the ground.
So this is where I guess I'm a little bit different. So some of the guys that I work with, if you ask them, they would tell you, well, of course, he's very different. I don't look at it as the things that we do as building potential. I look at it as everything that we do is going to limit how big of a drop we have in our yields. Because if we know that our potential is somewhere around 600 or above 600 and 200, they always joke with us and they say, as the farmer, the day that you open the bag or the minute you open a bag, if you dump it in the planter wrong, you've already taken 50 or 100 bushels off of your potential. So the things that we do, the things that we look at, is all about limiting what those drops are. And really, that's paying attention to the nutrient concentration within your plants, making sure that your plants don't have a bad day.
So how often do we check in on them?
So, you know, it really depends. I mean, it depends. This goes again where, what's the goal of the grower? I work with growers that are competing on a national corn grower contest, and it's really not as much about the trophy as it is just simply about proving to themselves what they can do on their farm. Some of those guys, we take weekly tissue samples. We'll take soil samples 3 to 4 times throughout the growing season. And then for the producer that's just really trying to get into this to start to understand it, we'll take 6 tissue samples and 2 soil samples throughout the growing season.
So you talked about taking samples and you said every 3 to 4 weeks. What's something like that cost the farmer, our listener?
So through the 365 program, I believe it's, I think it's $450 a field in lab fees that's going to cover the soil samples and the tissue samples for that growing season in 2 locations. So 12 tissues and 4 soils.
So really, when we think of unlocking the potential, guys, I heard a word in there that basically when we drop corn in the planter, maybe we screwed it up for 100 bushel or screwed over something there. So I'm going to rephrase it as not potential unlocked, but loss mitigation. So what their product might do is help us understand what practices we could do to, we already have 600 bushel corn. We're just losing. How about we take this step not to lose the last 50, not to lose the last 100, because we already have the potential there. So right. Loss mitigation rather than potential unlocked.
That's pretty good, Dave. And maybe these guys will disagree with you, but I understand where you're coming from. Now, Bodie, you mentioned 365 through that program. We talked about that a little bit in the What's Working in Ag segment. Let's allude a little bit further as to why the 365 dashboard is important to this process of monitoring our crops.
Yeah, so 365 is the dashboard that's going to house all of your data. As a grower, you'll be able to jump on and look at that all of the time. If you're sitting in your recliner at night, if you're out spraying or loading a planter or loading a sprayer, whatever it might be, your data is going to be housed in one location where you can start to look at and track your soil to tissue, right? You'll be able to chart your tissues through the growing season. You'll be able to monitor that crop every time by just simply logging on and looking at your website.
So Brody, sitting here in studio, when you're sitting down with a client of yours and you're looking at your 365 dashboard, your program, you had mentioned that there's certain things that you look for. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So we're going to look for, what are the antagonisms that's holding that soil system back? You know, one of those being pH levels. I think Bodie's hit on that. He's got a great story of a guy that's called into him asking about using biologicals, used them in the past. And the first question is, well, what's your soil pH? And he's like, well, it's 4.8 to 5. Well, you don't need microbes. You need lime in that situation. Some other things that we touched on earlier were the WEOC levels. And that's the food source for the entire biology. So if we don't have a food source, it doesn't matter what we do. We need to be able to feed them and stimulate them. And you know, that comes from the plant, that comes from, you know, different practices that, that we incorporate into the operation. So those are the first two things that I'm, you know, gonna they'll look at as far as antagonism.
So, okay. So if that's the first time that you've heard the word antagonism, could you define that for the listener? What is, in the core, Webster here, dictionary guy, what does antagonism mean?
That's something that holds the whole system back.
Okay, hold you back.
Hold you back.
And what, it can also be like two nutrients, right? Being antagonistic
to
each other.
So, you know, we talk a lot about chemistry, right? Chemistry interacts with chemistry. So there's things that we do in the industry from a logistic simplicity standpoint that we may not realize is our antagonisms. For example, if we're spreading lime right before MAP, you know, that's an antagonism that can easily happen.
And this is what I did.
And this is what Corey
So this did. Really happens.
Yeah.
Oh,
I guess. This is what the industry does. This is what we've accepted as what happens. And I always use this analogy. Again, I apologize to anybody that doesn't like analogies with me. You're going to get a lot of them. But if Brody brought you out a row starter and he brought you out an unchelated calcium, and that row starter had phosphorus, he brought you out an unchelated calcium, an unchelated manganese, or an unchelated zinc product, you have snot. That's what you have. You have plug screens. You have plug filters. You have a planter that is not putting out the liquid because that those two chemistries interacted and formed a reaction. And the same thing happens in soils. So what Brody talked about and what Corey said, yep, that was me. I did that. That's calcium dietriphosphate, right? Your calcium and your phosphorus hooked together. That's an insoluble bond. The reason that I have a problem with today's soil test being just the chemical side is because the acids used on a standard chemical soil test are not acids that are produced by plants. They're not acids that exist in the soil. They're a harsher acid that's going to pull these nutrients apart and say, you have this much P and this much calcium available, but it's only through biology that you're actually going to solubilize both of those nutrients and allow them to become available.
You know what this sounds like to me? Another analogy here. It sounds like you're a pharmacist. So when I go to the pharmacy, I want to make sure that my one drug isn't counteracting another drug to make sure that I'm healthy. And that's what you're doing. You're just doing it with yeah. soil.
Don't take these pills with alcohol.
Exactly. Don't take these pills with alcohol. You'll plug your screens on your planter. I mean, this is a bad deal. I mean, all around.
So I did that. I'm the dummy that did this. And because of the soil tests, said that's what I needed to do, and the co-op, that's what they wanted to do. So am I screwed out of that money, or can I fix that with biologicals, or will I eventually get that back, or am I just out of it?
100%. And I don't want anybody that's listening to this. One of the things that I really try an awful lot is that to never make somebody feel like, oh, you're an idiot, right? Because my saying is you don't know what you don't know, and it doesn't make you wrong or ignorant. You just didn't know. And when the industry has accepted this as the norm, this is what we've done for 30 years. That's not your fault. And in fact, I look at it as anybody that's in the industry or an industry professional, it's our job to bring that information to you as growers to help you guys make better decisions. And so to answer your question, Corey, no, you're not screwed. No, you didn't lose that money. But yes, you're going to want to use something along the lines of a biological process so that you can solubilize or to break those bonds to make those nutrients plant available.
Okay. So Bodie, that to me that makes me think that we know what happened, but now we need to understand the why. So our listener may have interest in learning more about biologicals in general, but that's why working with somebody like yourself or somebody at Next Level Ag or Brody at BW Fusion to really understand why. Is that correct?
100%. I always tell people, you know, my dad, he listened to the podcast that I did with you guys earlier, and he goes, Bodie, he says, I got to be honest. He says, I was impressed. I said, yeah, Dad, he's getting degrees. He said, I didn't know that you could talk like that. And I said, listen, I said, you know, it's so important. I mean, it is so important that this whole system has to make sense, right? It really has to make sense to everybody that's raising a crop.
Corey, it sounds like to me you need a better pharmacist. Yours must just be crappy or something.
What I did was I took two really good things. I was putting nutrients out, building my soil, and I put trying to fix the pH, but I just did it at the same time.
Okay, so how soon then, Bodhi, do we start planning for the next crop? So in this, as we're recording right now, this is February of 2021. How soon do I start thinking about the 2022 crop?
Today.
Why?
Because our soils never are, they're never dead. They are always alive and always functioning. And it, and honestly, if you look at 365, right? 365 is a dashboard. Yes, it's a software, but 365 is to get growers to think about their soils, to think about that system 365 days a year, and understanding that there are ways to influence or to manipulate this. So obviously you're not going to go out and take a soil sample on frozen ground, but now's the time to start planning and preparing for what's going on and what the, this upcoming crop is going to be.
I think that this is where you're going to answer your question of where do you go for your biologicals and who do you want to work with, is because they're actually figuring out the why and showing you. They're in the field throughout the field or throughout the year, and you know what's going on instead of just throwing it out there and hoping.
So question for you. If you got the naysayers, the snake oil people, the foo-foo juice, et cetera, bugs in a jug, if that's what you got, help me understand. You left a job because somebody said, what do you want to do? And you had full faith in doing this. To our listener that does not have faith and they're thinking, I still think it's bugs in a jug, but I'm hearing what you're saying. This is maybe the next thing to come. I want to test it. I want to test this a little bit. I want to do one of my fields and see if this works. If it does, then you got me a customer for life. What does that person do? What's the next step? They come to you, they call you, and then what?
Yeah, so they can get a hold of me on Twitter. They can get a hold of our sales rep. They can call our company and they can ask, you know, hey, I've heard, you know, about biology. I don't understand it. I want to understand it. I really would like to try your products. And I'd just say, put us to the test. By all means, put us to the test. But the one thing that I'm going to ask you as a grower is to please take soil and tissue throughout the growing season of the treated and the untreated, so that when we get to the final day of judgment, if you will, that we can go back and we can actually learn something. Did the biology, did the snake oil actually do what the company says it's going to do? Yes or no? And you're going to have the data from your operation to answer your question.
And is 1 year enough time to get enough data to prove in the pudding for both of you guys here?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, from a scientific level, on one replication, on one operation, if we as a company were coming here on this podcast and we were saying, hey, we've got all of these answers because we did one location, one replication in 2020, no, the answer is absolutely not. But when we sit here and we have 225 fields that we did as a company this year, and that goes from Nebraska all the way to North Carolina, and we've got treated and untreated to see how our biology is manipulating the soil, making nutrients available, then the answer is yeah, I feel extremely confident about the data and what we learned about our products.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that plays into all, you know, 18 different sites we had across the state this last year running the program, learning what we did. And it also goes, you know, another step further. When I work with growers, especially before the 365 program, it was, okay, we put the product out, we measure that on yield. But we can't explain anything in between. And when we try, that's all about a bunch of hypotheticals is what that is. But by incorporating the 365 program and what Bodhi just got done saying is we answer the why, we get rid of the hypotheticals, and we also learn what were the positive things that we did, but also what are the things that we don't do in the future as well, and learn from that.
That's a great point. That just reminded me of that a TikTok that I saw of a gentleman going into his banker saying that he's going to put the yield potential of his
crop. Thomas Farms.
That was Thomas Farms.
Yeah.
He said he just added up all the extra 5 and 7 bushel advantages, and that's the cash flow projection yield that he put into his.
Yeah, how many products do you guys have?
A lot. We could maybe get to that 600 bushel yield potential just with everything adding together. 600.
That's good. So I know this is a lot of information in this episode, and the reason we put it out is to get you to start thinking. So Bodie, before we let you go, we always prep our guests to share what they think the most common characteristics of the most successful farmers that they work with are. Not going to put you on the spot right now, but be thinking about that. Before we wrap up, is there any additional advice that you, Bodie or Brody, have for our listeners around the topic of biologicals?
Yeah, I do. I think the best thing you could do is ask questions. Do your own research. Ask questions. There's so many biological companies that are coming on the market right now. Some are coming in the market because of carbon credits. Others, you know, they've been working on developing a product. Ask them questions. Ask them about their biology. See what they know. The one benefit or the one advantage, in my opinion, that Biodyne has, I tell people, we're the best kept secret in the Midwest. We've been doing biology for 30 years. We own all of the isolates. We control everything from isolation to fermentation to formulation. We know what our bugs are. We have capability charts on them. If you want to see it, ask any one of our sales guys and we'll sit down and we'll show you what the capability charts are. So when I tell you that we have over 24 microbes and we have phosphorus solubilizers, we have ammonifiers, we have N2 fixers, we have siderophores, I can prove all of that. Ask questions, be skeptical, but be open-minded.
I like that. I like that. Well, Tanner, as he's thinking about the number one quality that all farmers he knows have, let me summarize kind of what we talked about. So listeners, thanks for sticking with us today. We had two different people on the podcast today, Brody and Bodie, not to be confused, Brody Benton BW Fusion. He talked to us a lot about the bugs in a jug, if you will, the biology, the fertility, the nutrition, the monitoring, and how to get a better ROI. He talked to us specifically about 401 product seed treatment, 501, the meltdown, and what that can do for you in short, very short. So if you want to know more, talk with him. We also talked with Bodie Kitchell. And what his product with 365 can do in Next Level Ag. And I tell you, there's a whole lot that we unpacked here today. And what we unpacked is everything from, if I can put it in a couple of words, moving everything from the fence row into the center of the field. That's what we're trying to say. We're trying to say take better care and better land stewardship of your soil. If you do, you could potentially get 600 bushel corn and 200 bushel beans. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about doing what you do better. That's what we're talking about.
I like that, Dave. And before I challenge Bodie, we heard what Corey did as it's a fairly common mistake. Off the top of your head, are there any common mistakes that a traditional farm right now makes that they don't realize they're making?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is and go back to antagonisms, right? That was the word that you used. Understanding the chemistry that's in play, the chemistry that exists in your soil, and what antagonizes it. Something as simple as looking at what your K ratio to your mag ratio is in your soils. And if you have, for example, 150 part per million K, and you have a 300 part per million mag, don't be in a big hurry to go spread or broadcast 300 pounds of potash on that soil.
I just had an idea. And I'm going to take 100% credit for this idea, but I think, Corey,
of course, of course,
I think you might have brought this up. I'm going to ask you permission on the mic so you can't say no. What if we messed around with a couple of your fence rows and your fields to see if we could actually get biologicals to work?
Nope.
No. It's a good thing I'm the one that edits these podcasts.
No, I think that sounds interesting.
Okay, second phase, Bodie, Brody. Can we use the 365 program to prove it's working or not working?
Absolutely.
So we're going to dive into a couple of my fields that are right, you know, 6-7 miles from the studio here.
Yeah, let's do that.
And follow them throughout the season.
I think so.
We record. I'm going to make Brody come out and take soil samples and
tissue samples
and we'll do some filming of it and
I think
put it up there.
Definitely Tanner needs to get out of the office
and
be able to experience taking tissue samples
at
VT.
Sunscreen,
bugs.
I'm going to need that sunscreen. We all know about that. I have no problem with bugs. I think that's cool. That I think what might take this, no pun intended, well, really a pun intended, to the next level with our listeners. Because I'm afraid we might have lost a couple of guys. So if you're still listening, I greatly appreciate it. My challenge is to continue learning. And that might be calling these guys or calling the local agronomist that you work with. Just get to a level of understanding to where you are halfway comfortable with the microbials that are in your soil, and maybe push the guys and gals that do your soil sampling to get a more expanded set of information. So that way we know we're maximizing, or like I said, we're mitigating the loss of potential when we dump that seed into the planter. I really like that. So Bodie, we gave you a lot of time to think. The most successful people that you're working with, what do they have in common?
They all ask why.
That's good.
That was simple.
They don't accept the status quo. They know that there's something out there. Even if they don't understand it, they're not afraid to attack it head on and to surround themselves with the people that help them get there.
Tanner, we've talked about that before when we talked about leadership and that acronym I use, MICE, model the way, inspired a shared vision. But the third one was challenge the process.
Yep.
That's what he's talking about. Ask why. Challenge the why.
Yep.
This is a big challenge because everyone huge. Is so set in their ways. And this has got my head spinning thinking about it.
Well, thank you, listener. Thank you, Bodie. Thank you, Brody. We appreciate you sticking with us. This is exciting that we're going to revisit a little conversation throughout the growing year, get more details on what's actually going on in the field. Listener, thank you again. If you want more information or want contact or other episode ideas, farmforprofitllc@gmail.com. And remember, if you reach out to these guys and you mention Farm for Profit, there is up to $2,500 in credits when you work with their program. So learn more. Until next time, we hope you have a good one.
Remember, if you aren't farming for profit, you won't be farming for long.